1290 WLBY.
From big screen to small screen, it's Talking Pictures with Perry Seibert. Friday mornings on the Lucy Ann Land Show on 1290 WLBY.
We go on the couch with psychotherapist Frank Rubino on the Lucy Ann Land Show, 1290 WLBY. Frank, welcome back, and I love your topic today. It's all about overcoming fear, but a specific kind of fear.
Oh, that's right, Lucy Ann. There's a kind of fear that drives our unhappiness and our unhealthiness, and that's that constant state of fear that our current culture and times seems to push on us and encourage us to live in. It's terrible for us.
Yeah, a lot of people are unhappy right now, aren't they?
Well, and it's worse than unhappy. I think that, yes, they are unhappy for sure. And I think many people are very frightened. They're very scared, and they're living their lives in this sense, in that state of fear, which is absolutely no good for us as human beings in any way, physically, psychologically, spiritually, you name it.
I took down my TVs recently because I'm preparing for a move, and I've been without television for a week. It has been blissful.
You know, it's funny, Lucianne, you say that, because the first thing that I would say to somebody who is struggling with constant fear is to stop feeding that fear. And our, you know, Marcus Aurelius, very long time ago, talked about how what we put in our mind is what colors our worldview, essentially. And what he meant is that whatever you tend to expose yourself to over and over again is going to be the lens through which you see the world. And right now, if you've got a television, or if you're watching, you know, media of any kind, or you know, the news, it's always, we're on the brink of disaster. And it allows for us to be constantly afraid.
Talking today with psychotherapist Frank Rubino about overcoming this fear that he is describing that keeps us forever unhappy and unhealthy. So perhaps it's what you're putting into your mind, what you're consuming, whether it's media or whatever might be imposing on the goodwill of your mind. What else could it be?
Well, you know, first of all, I think that our conversations, we know people who they can't get away from some of the hot topics that are simply talking points that they repeat over and over again, as opposed to really understanding the ideas or even questioning the sources of their information, which I think doesn't help either. And focusing on the absolute negative, the worst possible. In psychology, we sometimes call that catastrophizing or awfulizing. You take the worst possible scenario, you run with it. And I think that we see this a lot with people we engage with. I know I see a lot of it in my practice with patients come in, and they're very worried and very anxious. And the worry is real, and the anxiety is real. The fear, maybe not so real. There may not actually be a threat present. So that's sort of the difference between anxiety and fear. Anxiety is the worry about something happening in the future, and fear is that same feeling with the presence of a threat.
Okay.
And so people are so scared, but I think they're feeding into this unnecessarily.
Don't you think, though, sometimes anxiety feeds into becoming fear as opposed to fear creating the anxiety?
It goes both ways. And I think the danger that we face is that the anxiety gives us a false sense that we have some control. And that's the weird thing. People, if someone were to say, hey, just don't worry about it. Well, now people think, man, I don't have any control. But if I think about this issue nonstop and I ruminate over this and look at it through every possible angle and facet, then maybe I can come up with a solution. And that's not real. That's kind of fantasy. It's our way of trying to control something we cannot control.
So how do you balance this from being overly consumed by something you think is fear, being fed by whatever, versus being in la-la land and totally not following the news and not realizing what's going on and not really caring?
Well, First of all, I'm not sure that's necessarily we have very little control over really most of anything. It's a bit of a mirage that we have. We seem to see ourselves as having lots of control. We have total control over how we react to things and how we respond to things. It's those things themselves we generally don't have a lot of control over. For example.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, delve into that a little bit more to teach us how to do that.
Sure. So you might say, say politics. We're all upset about politics. Okay. So what can you do? Well, you can cast your ballot, and you cast your ballot is cast. However you arrive at that, how much anxiety and emotional energy you spend leading up to that is up to you, but you cast your ballot. Worrying about the outcome or trying to imagine and think and ruminate your way into controlling the outcome is a fool's errand. There's nothing you can do about that. What you can control, however, is how you respond to whatever is happening on levels that we cannot control.
Okay, I understand all of that. But what if you are the person who is in control? You're the CEO of a company and you are worrying about something that you're fearing is going to happen to your company. And you are in control of that company. You can't just sit back and say, well, whatever happens, happens. Or you're the president. You're President Trump. He's in control. That's real fear, isn't it?
Well, in those cases, it might be. And I think that there are lots of hands on lots of levers. So we tend to think that there's one person in control, like a king or whatever, and they can make any decision. Even a CEO has to answer to a board. There are people that they have to bounce ideas off of and convince people to do one thing or the other. And I think that's partly where the strength comes in. And whether it's your own household or the nation's capital, I think you can utilize similar strategies. So you go to trusted people, people you find to be competent, and you ask their opinions, maybe a professional, and you pay them for their opinions. And you say, help me work this out. What's a plan in case X should happen? Then how should I respond? And I think having that knowledge and creating that plan goes a long way.
I love that advice. We're talking with psychotherapist Frank Rubino, as we do each week on Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY, on the Lucy Ann Lance Show. Frank, so the idea that there are some people who just revel in this, revel in fear, revel in unhappiness, their lives are set up in a way that this is how they not work best, but it's what they become used to. Where do they start to not have that unhappiness and unhealthy version of themselves?
Oh, that is a really great question. And it's actually a pretty nuanced question, because I think that what happens so often is that people wait until something breaks before they decide to do something about it. And in cases like this, I think what sometimes happens is a relationship gets damaged. There's an explosion of some kind in a relationship, or maybe a health event. And the doc says, you know what? You need to cut your stress out of your life, or you're going to have some real problems. So I would say that if you're going to be proactive, then start making these changes now before something terrible happens, and let the people around you, let your loved ones know that you're going to make these changes, and they can help you make those changes. Or maybe you can make them together as a family, as a group, as a couple, as whatever. You can encourage each other to stay away from certain media outlets or certain news or whatever it is that seems to be driving these fears.
Even if you can't stay away from that, is it possible to just let the fear go? I used to be a much more concerned person about how others behaved, and now I don't really care, because I finally, in my 60s, realized that's their issue, not mine, and that's their life, and I've got to live my own life. I have to make my own happiness. I can't live in other people's worlds.
Yeah. You know, I think that that's one of those life lessons. I think that you're either born with that gift, that blessing to be able to live and see the world that way, or you have to come to it later in life.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I've come to rest on. I think that people sometimes I've known very young people who've had that outlook, and I think, man, you have saved yourself an ulcer and maybe a heart attack or two. And then there are some of us who have to go very many decades before we can come to the realization that our worry and our fears, all this anxiety, does not affect the outcome one bit.
No,
it's wasted energy.
It is wasted. It's wasted. Your life's wasted. And I'll tell you, letting that go and just being free of it is just, there's a catharsis of with it. And you just enjoy your life so much better.
And I think too, you know, maybe turning the channel from those where the entertainment that's conflict driven, you know, some of those shows, the so-called reality shows that people watch that are totally scripted, are meant to keep us looking because of the conflict.
Yeah.
And I think that's disturbing to our soul, listening to people scream at each other all the time. I think can be really unsettling for us.
Yeah, be kind to your soul.
For sure. It's the only one we've got.
That's right. Thank you so much to Frank Rubino, psychotherapist. He practices out of Plymouth, Michigan. You can look him up by Googling Frank Rubino, R-U-B-I-N-O, and Psychology Today, where he has a landing page. And he's on the air each week right here on Ann Arbor's Talk Station, 1290 WLBY.